I'd like to turn this morning to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I'm sure that we're all familiar with what this chapter is. Some people call it the love chapter. I'm not going to read anything but one verse. Been meditating on one verse this week. And I'd like to look at the 12th verse. He says, 13 and 12 of 1 Corinthians, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Now, the King James Bible or Scripture translation was done at a time in history where I didn't do my research as to when glass started being used as window panes. If somebody knows, feel free to speak up. But before that even, maybe they had some mirrors with, they put silver on the back, on one side of a piece of glass to see, be able to see a reflection. But the mirror that is most likely referred to here, and this is not, if you did a more correct translation, that don't sound good. If you did a more word-for-word translation, he's really talking about looking into a reflection or a mirror. And the any mirror type thing that they would have would be, at the time of Paul, would be a polished piece of metal, like brass or maybe silver or something like that. The glass, they had glass, but generally glass was used for things like ornaments, and it was colored glass. They might have a little like a teacup or a little container made out of glass in Paul's time. But glass, when we read this scripture today and say, look, see through a glass darkly, the thing that pops into my head when I was young and probably in your head today is like the glass we have in our windows. The windows, the casements that they had in the times of the scripture was an opening in the wall, and they had some kind of device to keep the elements out when the elements weren't desirable to have inside. But it was really difficult for them to have a closing of keeping the elements out and letting light in, okay, in years gone by. We were very, very fortunate in our age that we live in to be able to let the sunlight in and keep the heat out or the cold out. It's pretty amazing. And I remember having, and you probably have, a few of you anyway, have probably seen some houses that had glass panes in it that was distorted a little bit. Some older glass that was not perfectly smooth, and if you look at it just right, it's like, whoa, those people look funny outside. But it was clear glass, but yet the it wasn't perfectly flat, and that caused a little bit of distortion. So the point in this verse, I believe, if we really get a hold of it, he says, now we see through a glass darkly. Now what we're seeing, particularly a reflection, is there's some distortion involved, and I know it. That's what Paul's saying. I know that what I'm looking at is not perfectly what the image is that I want to see. All right? He said, now I see through a glass darkly. There's distortion here. There's a lack. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So he said, now I'm able to have a partial comprehension or understanding, but there's going to come a time, and I believe that time is when we come to meet the Lord to spend the rest of eternity. There's going to come a time. That's specifically what I believe this verse is talking about, is that there's going to come a time when we are, it's one-on-one, just like when I look at you this morning, there's no question about whether you're here or not. I can look at you. I know that I recognize your face. This is exactly who you are, is at least visibly. I can see that you are present here. It's not a Zoom meeting, although that can be pretty good. It can have its limitations. It's not some kind of video conference or something like that. You're here today because I can see you. It's not a reflection, but there's going to, he says, right now, I'm hampered. We know we're hampered by the flesh. We're hampered by all the things that causes us to be humanity. But he says, I will know, right now, I know in part. So I really want to focus this morning with the help of the Lord of us knowing in part and what it means to see through a glass darkly, or to see a reflection darkly. I looked the word darkly up, and one of the definitions, we don't say something is darkly anymore. That's kind of an archaic word. I don't use that, except when I read this scripture. but a meaning that I found is obscurely, dimly, blindly, uncertainly, with imperfect light or clearness of knowledge. So there is an imperfect clearness of knowledge. It's not a complete understanding. And one anonymous writer said this, they learn only what tradition has darkly conveyed to them. This would cause things like, why you cut the roast in half before you put it in the oven. And you say, well, I don't know. That's what Mama did. And Mama said, well, that's what my mother did. And when you find out the root of it is because she didn't have a pan big enough to put the whole roast in. She cut it in two pieces. Well, it's a tradition that was darkly passed on. Okay? So I'd like for us to think about the contrast between looking through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know that there's things right now today that each one of us here don't fully understand. There's things about life that we just, it's kind of beyond our scope right now. There's things that maybe I won't ever understand. I believe there's things that at the end of life, I may have had this desire. I wished I could have really understood what something meant or how something worked. There's things that you may totally understand, and it's like, oh, it's just common knowledge. Do you remember how difficult it was to learn to tie your shoe? I don't know if I really remember learning how. I just know that there was a time that I didn't. And my boys, you know, they weren't born with the ability to tie their shoe. It's something they had to learn how to do. And there was a period of time that they would, you know, kind of fumble around and do something and take two or three steps and it all fall apart. And then they might do something that it was like, I'm just going to have to cut it. It don't come apart. So But for us today, how many of us stop and when we tie our shoe, if you have shoes that have laces in it this morning, if you go to tie your shoe, how many of you stop? Okay, make a loop with the right hand, whatever your technique is, how many of you stop and think about that? I'd say you don't. You kind of tighten them up. And the biggest annoyance for me when I lace up my work boots is that one side gets longer than the other. And I've always got, I don't know, I must pull harder on one side than the other. I don't know how that happens, but I've got to constantly adjust that. But I don't think about it. I just hook them. I've seen people that didn't untie the knot. They just kind of hooked it on. And they'll take their, they do that like I'm standing up and walking. They don't think about it. It's because they have a complete understanding of what they're doing. But somebody that's never done that, they've got to focus. Now, okay, I'll put this one on that, or skip one. No, we're not thinking about it like that. Okay? So I'd like for us to turn over here to Acts, the 8th chapter, and I want to get a picture of what the clear understanding does for us. And the story here is about Philip. We'll start reading in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And it says here, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So that seems to be just out of the blue. I don't know if it was or not. I'm looking through a glass darkly right now because I don't know all the circumstances that was going on. It may have been a time of a lot of traveling going on. I don't know. But it seemed like the Lord impressed Philip to go down by the road. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? So let's talk about what we've read so far. Philip has been inspired by the Lord to go down by the road. He encounters a man that's from Ethiopia. Obviously, he's a man that's an expert in the field that he works in because the queen, the ruler, had put things in his control. He was the one that took care of some important business for the queen. Would you agree with that? But he's going along, reading from the book of Isaiah. He's been to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I'm looking in something kind of darkly. I don't have a lot of understanding. I have a lot of questions when I read this. Number one, what's a man of Ethiopian descent? Maybe he was a descendant of one of the 10 tribes that were dispersed by the Assyrians a number of generations before. Maybe. Maybe he had no Israelite ethnicity in his veins at all. Maybe he was just a native of Ethiopia, and that he was, maybe he had become acquainted with the Old Testament law through many eons before, when the Queen of Sheba, that's considered also Ethiopia, had come and visited Solomon, and she took something back with her. I know she did. She was really impressed with Solomon. Maybe she took something back, and there had been a little seed planted many, many years before him, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had come to the temple. He had made an effort to come to the place that he had heard about. See, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I do know this, he was reading from the book Isaiah, which is an Old Testament prophet, and he's reading this, and I can see this man, a very intelligent man, and the wheels in his mind are really spinning, and maybe he's trying to grasp. You want to talk to me about some things that I do in my everyday life? And it's like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I understand how that works. I know how to put that together, all of that. But there are other things that sometimes it's some of the simplest things. My wife starts telling me something, I said, stop, just a minute. Who are you talking about? Where's this at? Because I don't know. It's just, it's over my head. It's out of my league. I'm looking through a glass darkly. And this man was reading from the book of Isaiah. And when Philip got in the chariot with him and heard him reading, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And how did the man respond? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. So immediately I have a tremendous amount of respect for this man. He didn't say, yeah, I'm figuring it out as I go. That's not how he said it. He said, to tell you the truth, I'm lost. I'm reading this because I think it's good, but I really don't know what I'm reading. I wished I had somebody that could give me a little instructions and a little bit of guidance. You know, my estimation of this man went from, I don't know who in the world this fella is, to this guy is really intent on gaining understanding, right? So he said, he desired Philip to come up and sit with him. Then, place in the scripture he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And a eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Woo, this is a totally different direction. This man had no idea, probably, other than a little rumor going around when he was in Jerusalem, of who Jesus was. And Philip began to take those scriptures and begin to apply it to the experience he knew and his eyewitness account. Not through a reflection. He knew what he was talking about. Philip wasn't talking about looking in a distorted piece of polished brass. He was talking about, I was there. I was with this man. Let me tell you what I witnessed. Let me tell you how this scripture was fulfilled in Jesus' life. And he began to explain that to him. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? I don't know what this does for you, but I'll tell you what it does for me. This man went from, I don't have a clue what I'm reading. I'm just stumbling through the words. Boy, I wished I knew. I can't hardly make heads or tails of what's going on here. And Philip took that and began to, because he was, the eunuch was receptive and he was in a position where he wanted to know. He wanted to know, but he didn't know. Did Philip say, well, everybody that I know of knows what this means? That's not how he approached it. He took the same scripture and he began, I don't know how long they rode. To me, I think they rode quite a ways because he had a lot to tell him. He had a lot to explain. He had a lot of details to give him. And by the time he was finished, I don't think this eunuch had to stop him and say, well, explain his reasoning so much. I believe he was a very, very intelligent, capable man. And he was just kind of soaking it up as Philip was talking to him. And as Philip was explaining the details of how Jesus was the one that was fulfilling this prophecy, and that's who Isaiah was talking about, and how marvelous it was, because Philip knew Jesus personally. By the time it was coming to his, and he was coming to a place in his life where he was coming face to face with the knowledge and the understanding. And what happened to him was, they was going along and he seen a body of water and he said, what would keep me from being baptized? Nothing. Phil, nothing's going to keep you. If you believe that Jesus was the Christ, we can baptize. We can stop and baptize you right now. And the eunuch was ready. He embraced it. You see, this is how studying the Scripture, this is how the knowledge of the gospel should empower us. And I'll be the first one to tell you, there's things I don't understand, and there's things that when I do understand, I ask myself, why didn't I know that before this? You ever been there? I go along in life for, it could be something with the Scriptures, it could be something with my line of work. It's like, you know, as they say, hindsight is 20/20. You look back and say, I should have known that years ago. I should have known that last week. Why did I not do something about not understanding this before? Another saying is, you don't know what you don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And we go along in life looking through a glass darkly. Maybe we do things because other people say this is what you ought to do. And there's merit to that. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. There's merit in parents being able to say, listen, it's for me and my house. This is how it's going to be done. There's merit to that. But there's also tremendous power in coming face to face with it and understanding for yourself. I want us to notice how the clearing of the understanding was a blessing to this man from Ethiopia and to Philip. They both were blessed that day. I'd like to turn now to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and notice a little bit of the side of the coin of where there's a lack of understanding and a lack of clarification. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23 and begin to look at verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. Whatever they do, bid ye observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. The scribes and Pharisees were in a position of authority. Parents are in a position of authority. Sunday school teachers are in a position of authority. Pastors and ministers are in a position of authority. Maybe school teachers, there's a lot of different individuals in our lives that will be in a position of authority. The most effective thing is for them to be able to portray what they're trying to teach in a manner that's clear enough where somebody else can get it. Okay? If we don't get it, if someone doesn't get it, when the information is passed on, it's kind of like lighting a firework and it on the fuse, and when it gets down to the end, nothing happens. You ever seen that? I can be up here talking to you and going shh, And down at the end of the fuse, it's like, I don't know. What was he talking about anyway? I don't want it to be that way. I want our time here to be something that when you take it home, it's like, you know, I may not got everything, but I got something. I got something. I want to be able that we would be able to grow thereby, by the word. I want our Sunday school classes to be like that. I want you to be like that. You know, I remember those phone calls that interrupted my work before cell phones. When I was at work, phone would ring, Dan to the telephone. Get over there. My wife's on the phone. Honey, the boys are doing whatever. Well, you're going to have a little teaching seminar with them. Well, I've already done that. Well, you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And eventually, there's some comprehension that comes along. But there's small components that's passed each time those little sessions happen. There should be something moving in the right direction. But what Jesus was talking about is the scribes and Pharisees were throwing requirements out there, but they weren't equipping the people to know why they were doing it. So that it was looking through a glass darkly. There was nothing there that really empowered them to be motivated to say, can I be baptized? That's what happened. It was so clear to that eunuch on the road that day that he said, what would keep me from being baptized? I believe it. I accept it. I understand what the prophet was talking about, and I can get the picture in my mind of why Jesus was the one that the prophet was talking about. Can I be baptized? It wasn't like Philip never said, now listen, if you are willing to accept what I'm teaching today, we're going to have to baptize you. First time we come to a little branch of water, we're going to have to get out of this chariot. But no, he never. I don't even know if he talked about that. We want understanding to empower us as a congregation. I want to be part of that. I want to have that myself. They were darkly passing on traditions. Remember the definition I read in the statement? They learn only what tradition has darkly conveyed to them. I think that they were passing it on just like they had been passed on to them. I want it to be more than that. There's a place for conforming. The real objective is for there to be a clear understanding where others would say, I want to be one of them too. I want to be like that. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and read a few verses here. 2 Timothy, remember Paul's talking to a young man. And he said here in verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You believe we live in the last days? I do. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We see that all around us, don't we? Every one of those words is in manifestation today. Without natural affections, that's on the forefront. It's in the headlines all the time. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's very true too. They're calling good evil and evil good all around us. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How people will stand out in the cold, sit in the bleachers when it's cold, get snowed on, sleeted on, have the stuff that drains out of their nose freeze into an icicle off of their mustache and suffer frostbite for a football game but won't come in to the chapel where the heat's on. That's the way it happens in our world today. They're lovers of other things more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What do you think about that verse? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'd like for you to reason with me just a little bit. If somebody is always learning and they never come to the knowledge of the truth, would it be fair to say that they're probably learning the wrong stuff? I mean, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to come to that conclusion. If you're ever learning and you're never able to come to the truth, then you're reading out of the wrong book. You know, I'm not going to learn how to bake cornbread by reading the Mitchell Manual. Y'all know what a Mitchell Manual is? That's how you learn how to fix a car. They don't talk about cornbread in there. They're not going to talk about how to wire a house in there. And I'm not going to learn how if I keep reading my Mitchell Manual. All right? Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I want us to get the revelation this morning that when clarity of understanding comes, how empowering it is and how accessible it is. I've been searching for a few things recently in the last week. I want to digress just a little bit here and tell you what I've been struggling with. I told Clifton earlier that my days consist of getting out of the frying pan and in the fire, and then I get back in the frying pan to find out I need to get back in the fire. So, at the prompting of a customer, we took on the job of taking a manual transmission out and putting an automatic transmission in. Well, that's pretty simple in itself, but the engine is computer controlled and the transmission is computer controlled, and it just so happened that the engine is controlled by a Cummins computer with Chrysler software. And the transmission I put in is out of a Ford. Now, if that don't make your head start to spin, everything has went real well up until it works pretty good. All except the speed control. This customer's got to have speed control. He's not able to hold the accelerator for long periods of time. He's got to have speed control. I've worked off and on for about a week trying to make the speed control. I've got the Cummins computer don't like the automatic. And the speed control is in the computer. And I don't have an answer for it yet. I'm searching. And I'm searching. And hopefully I'm reading in the right book. But you know how difficult it is to find information about stuff they didn't make in the first place? It makes living for the Lord sound simple. Been looking also for a little motor to run a power curtain. Like curtains, you know, I never thought somebody would have to have electric motor to open and close the curtains. But anyway, this motorhome I've been working on, the motor's missing. I don't even have nothing to go with. And it's got to have an electric motor to run the curtain around the windshield to close it and then back around to open it. Google it, a search is wonderful, but it don't like any of the things I've entered in to try to find a power curtain motor. Now, I don't want us to go away this morning thinking, I'll never understand why the saints have taught this. I never understand why that seems so important. All I need to know is the Lord loves me. That's true. You need to start there. But Paul told Timothy in another place to study to show himself approved, right? That's scripture. And there's times that people come up against the things that it seems like it's dark to them. It's darkly. They're looking through a glass darkly. They're looking into the reflection. Why is this? It's too complicated. I don't understand. I just don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to tell you, we got an obligation. We need to try to understand. The Ethiopian hadn't quit reading Isaiah, right? The Lord inspired Philip to go talk to him. And when Philip got there, because he had an eyewitness account and he could explain the book of Isaiah to him, this man got it. And when he got it, he was blessed. You know what what's going to happen to you when you get it? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be empowered. You're going to say, I wished I was here years ago. I wished I was here weeks ago. I wished I was here hours ago. Whatever it is, you're going to wish that you had done it sooner. But it didn't happen then. Don't beat yourself up over it. Just be glad that you got the understanding. Just be glad that it's clear to you now. So I want us to point us to a few places of how possible it is for us to get an understanding of why things are important. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 7. And I think this is pretty important because it's in red in my Bible, and that means that Jesus said it. So let's go to chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says here, ask and it shall be given you. You know what is the main hindrance of gaining understanding a lot of times? People don't ask. They're just stumbling along, wishing things would change, and they don't ask. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know how encouraging and inspiring that is? If we're knocking, something's going to open. What did Jesus, he taught a parable that men ought always to pray, and what did he give as an example? A woman going to an unjust judge and kept asking, putting her petition in. I heard someone talking a message just recently about if every time he said no, that she left saying, I'll be back tomorrow. Can you imagine coming back? Here I am again, Judge. You going to take care of my problem today? No, I'm not going to do it today. All right, I'll be back tomorrow. I mean, how much of that can a judge put up with? And it says here, knock, and it's going to be open to you. Are you searching for it? Are you seeking for it? Are you trying to ignore it? If we're trying to ignore it, if we're trying to put it out of our mind and say, I don't want to know how. I don't want to understand. You know, it's going to be a thorn to us, and we're going to always have that place in our life. You know, there's times that I get to work and it's like something's in my shoe. I don't know what it is. I got to take my shoe off. I got an option though. I can just walk around kind of limp all day long, and when I get home, there's going to be a sore on my foot. I might even be bleeding. You ever had that experience? We got to seek. We got to knock. We got to ask. And the promise is we're going to get some understanding. Let's back up a page or two to Matthew 5 in verse 6. Blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry for understanding? Or are you just blissfully ignorant and you want to stay that way? I hope that you're hungry for understanding, that you're hungry for a clearing of a vision of what the Lord wants to give us. And why would I live as conscientious as I do? Lord, teach me how to be conscientious. Help me to be. And then, of course, the verse we referred to earlier, where Paul so told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It doesn't say study to see if you can find a loophole. It doesn't say that. How many of us would study the Form 1040, you know what that is? To try to figure out how could I support my government more? Probably none of us. Every time that we file taxes, I'm talking about her and I want to make sure everything's on the right line. So if it can be subtracted, it'll be subtracted. I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. But that's, he says here, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't study to try to find a reason to not believe God. You're reading the wrong book. You know, I've heard it said about some of the more ancient scholars that they always looked at a discovery. I've heard this said about Sir Isaac Newton. Okay, I'm going to name a name there. That everything he discovered about nature just inspired him to believe God more. He just discovered something new that God had already created. That's what I've heard. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me now or later. But are we studying science? Are we studying the universe around us to try to prove that God really don't exist? Or when we do discover something new, it's like, thank you, Lord. You was thinking about that before I ever come along. How are we studying? You know, there are people out there that are studying to try to prove that there's a bunch of stuff that's not necessary. You can fill in the blank there. They're reading the wrong book many times. What could I do for sacrifice that'd be too much for my Lord? He gave his life for me. What could I sacrifice would be too much? I don't know. I don't think I can sacrifice too much. I'd like to try to bring our thought to a close. Let's go to First Chronicles first. 1 Chronicles 28. It's a story of David handing off the reign to Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'd like to read verse 9. He says, I got to get in 1 Chronicles, not 2. And thou, Solomon, my son, you that are coming on behind me, the next generation, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. You know, he understands why your mind works the way it does. He understands why you have these random thoughts. He understands how the enemy tries to infiltrate. Notice this little two-letter word, if. If is contingent. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If you read the right book, if you study in the right spirit, if you ask, Lord, I want to know. The eunuch on the road in his chariot said, I'd like to know what the prophet's talking about. How could I know? I'm reading this, and yes, I've heard some history, and I kind of have a grasp on who Isaiah was and all of that, but I don't know what he's talking about. Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? He wanted to know. Says, if you'll seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You know, we can study the wrong book, and we can reason to the wrong conclusion, and we can come to conclusions that sounds pretty plausible. I've been there many times in diagnosing something and come to the wrong conclusion and replaced a part, and sure enough, still got the problem. Maybe I followed the book. I remember one time I followed the book to the letter, and I got down and put a new computer on a car that wouldn't run. It still wouldn't run. It's like, what did I miss? I was doing this right. I followed every step of the process. And what I discovered was there was a test in there that really wasn't valid for my situation. The conclusion that I got, the evidence I got by following the instructions that was in that book led me astray. We got a book here. If you follow the instructions in here and the Spirit of the Lord, you think you'll be led astray? Then why don't we follow it? Why don't we ask the Lord to reveal His Spirit and His direction to us? David said to Solomon, if, you get that? If you'll seek Him, He'll be found of thee. If we don't seek Him, if we begin to seek the counsel of others, and we begin to seek the counsel of the world around us, you know where we'll end up? Confused. The wrong conclusion. Lord, help us to seek the Lord. And get looking in the glass darkly, it'll be behind us, and we can see it face to face. And you know what that becomes? It becomes a personal conviction. I believe with all of my heart this is what God wants out of me. And I'm not moving off of that. This will be a conviction that I live by. It'll be something that'll give me stability and direction in life. Let's end with 2 Corinthians, the 28th chapter. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and verse 12. Says, for if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath. Did you know that eunuch, if he'd have got all the way home and not understood what Isaiah had in mind, and he had died on his way home, You know, I believe that he would have died with a clear conscience before God. But he was willing. And when the opportunity came along for somebody to explain the way more perfectly, he said, "Would you ride in the chariot with me? Can you help me out here a little bit? I don't know what I'm reading. I'd like to know, but I don't know." He says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." I want every one of us here to know this morning that if you look on somebody else and you say, "I just don't get it," you know, I believe the Lord will accept you like that. But I also believe that he wants you to have a willing mind and one that's seeking and searching and has a desire to study and read the right book and ask the right spirit to give you understanding. Lord, help us today as we go forward in our life to have first a willing mind and to be willing to seek him so that we can have a clearing of understanding. And it wouldn't be like looking in a glass darkly. It'll be like then face to face. I'm so thankful for the lessons I have learned in life. And sometimes, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. The more understanding I have, the more I feel like, Lord, I feel like I'm so under-equipped and I'm so hampered in all the things that I would like to know better. So I desire your prayers for myself. I want to read the right book. I want to have a willing mind. I want to pay heed to the Spirit that's trying to winnow my path. I don't want to get off on a tangent of, well, it sounds good to me. ain't close enough for government work. I don't want to live like that. I want to search until I know. I want to have the clarity that the eunuch from Ethiopia had. I want to be in a place that says, me too. I want to be baptized to that. That is me, because I understand now. You pray for me.